All right, so we're going to call to attention the meeting of the Ocala Municipal Arts Commission, Wednesday, December 4th, 2013. We'll start with attendance. Melissa, if you'd like to do that.
Okay. Mary Britt?
Present.
Tito Comas?
Here.
Sarah DeSance is excused. And we have a guest in her place, Donna DiScalfani. Linda Harlow, she should be late. She's absent at the moment, but should be here. Jennifer Ferns? Is present. Jan Larson?
Here.
Miriam Needham is absent. Matt Wardell?
Present.
Kent Weekly?
Present.
Daniel Yerden?
Here.
Lori Zink?
Here.
And also present is Jessica McCune.
Okay, we get a motion to approve the minutes from October 2nd, or do you want to just make a discussion?
I move we approve. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. All right, so we'll move right along to the review of the grant recipient report from Jessica McCune for the 16th Ocala Storytelling Festival 2012. Jessica?
Here is Jessica's report.
This is for the 17th festival, and are y'all ready?
Well, yeah, if you could go over your report on the 16th festival first.
Okay. Last year, we tried to capitalize the Light of Ocala and had a Liars contest on a Friday night and then a first ever Story Slam co-sponsored with the Insomniac Theater. And we have been, ever since the school district has restricted the use of buses for field trips, we have been trying to find a formula. And of course, once you start changing the formula, you have attrition with your audience. And then we had recession since 08. So we have really tried to find what worked, and you can't compete with Light of Ocala, or at least it's not a symbiotic relationship for a storytelling concert. So we learned that last November and went back to the drawing board, but just to give you the report for last year, we were able to visit four schools, focused on underserved schools, had three tellers that brought in, were able to still take storytelling to the classroom, and then have the Liars contest with about 150 in attendance. And then we did have a Story Slam, which did draw young, new tellers for storytelling, but it was at the Brick City Center for the Arts at the Light of Ocala, so it was a small crowd. And are there any other questions? I followed the format for the report, so how the funds were used, mainly for Pat Neese as a teller, and she not only told to South Ocala, but did an educator's workshop, and we did that in conjunction with the Golden Apple teachers that gave us the space, and we had 50 educators come to learn about storytelling in the classroom. Any questions?
Anybody have any questions? Okay. Do we need to approve it? I'm really going to go into, you want to start kind of jump right into the 17th?
So then, so what did work great, or what?
There you go.
I'm very excited about partnering with the Public Ed Foundation. And we are trying a first time new event, but a breakfast modeled after their annual report breakfast. And we will have Kay Burns, who is from Florida. Professional teller, excellent, and she's probably in the classroom more than any other storyteller in Florida. And also works a lot with classic literature. And so we are bringing her to introduce her to the corporate community to have a breakfast, and then that evening, the Storytime Festival was awarded a cultural grant from CCF And so the Appleton has been a great supporter in giving us a free venue for a concert for the community on the 15th Wednesday night, and as well sponsoring that breakfast that morning, giving us a venue. So we'll be at the Appleton on January 15th in the morning at 8 and at 7 p.m. And at 8 will be this joint venture with the Public Ed Foundation, $15 a ticket with 100% of the proceeds going for grants for great ideas for storytelling in the classroom. So we've taken the festival to become a fundraising event for another beneficiary. And we're all two sides of the railroad track going the same direction, so we're very excited about that, but it is a completely different direction for the Storytelling Festival. So the $500 we're requesting would be for Kay Burns' teller fee, would pay roughly 33% of her fee, and she would perform Wednesday morning, the 15th, at the breakfast, and then again that evening at a concert at the Appleton at 7 with other members of the Storytelling Guild and other regional tellers. And then she'll do the Educators Workshop, which will be the third year we've done that, the next day, the 16th, for the teachers with the Golden Apples at 7 o'clock.
So that is the festival, the festival now, is that's what it is.
Okay. For this year.
For this year, see how that works.
Okay. See how it works. And they've been real receptive. The Grants for Great Ideas is firmly in place. It's a wonderful program, and this will just add another Grant for Great Ideas to bring storytellers to the classroom with these funds, and I've agreed to help them with that process as well. Delighted to.
Yeah.
It's different. Ask all the questions you want.
Sometimes different is, you know,
survival.
Better,
yeah.
Uh-huh. You know, tough. How many people do you expect to be at the evening?
Well, the Appleton holds 250 seats.
Yeah, okay.
So, our goal is 80 for the breakfast. That's kind of what the cafe holds at the Appleton. And I would love for you to be my guest. If y'all could come on the 15th at 8, you would be my guest. I would love for you to be there. I just so thoroughly thrilled as you're being the lead arts agency for Marion County and have long been a supporter of on that desk. So I would love for you to be there.
Anybody have other questions for Jessica? All right. Well, thank you, Jessica.
Thanks.
We'll review this and get back with you.
No, y'all, you make it really easy. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
See you
later. See ya. Okay. Thoughts? Any motions, proposals?
I move that we approve the 500.
Second.
Okay, we've got a motion to approve. Any discussion? Okay. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. We pass. On to business meeting. You want to take that, Melissa, or the current
sure.
budget?
I do want to note that the current balance that's shown on the agenda was actually the balance from Wednesday before Thanksgiving due to requirements to have this posted and city staff not being available. There has been an additional like $200 that has went into this account. And I expect that it'll grow again a little bit more, but obviously between now and February when we meet again. The Art Depot, really excited to share this information with you guys. Lori and Kent and myself and Miriam Needham have met. We've met a couple times actually, and we've been brainstorming via email on this project. Lori had brought to the table a couple months back the need for the public schools and some of the requests that were coming to the Marion Cultural Alliance, and just that this was an opportunity for us all to work together and do something great for our youth and the teachers, especially with the funding cuts. And we had executed a public survey with the artists in June of this year, and there was a big response that they would be willing to support a student art supply repository. So we have all been fleshing out a program and how it would work. Kent designed a fabulous logo. And We're real excited. I am right on the cusp of securing the train station as a space to house the supplies. Yes. And I did have an informal meeting with the assistant city manager today, and she supports this. I will have a formal meeting with her and Mark Mundell from Growth Management, who's very involved in the train station space, on Monday of next week. And so I hope to get the formal blessing from everybody at that meeting. Kathy Crowell here at Rec and Parks supports this program. We just basically are waiting for Mark to sign off on us using that space, and we expect to receive a yes. We've also, I feel like, really thoroughly fleshed out how this program is going to work and work efficiently without, I guess, you know, bringing the right folks to the table and maximizing impact. There's a need for a website, and the city is able to host the website. It will be probably a WordPress website. We have a demo that's in the works right now. I've been working with John Butts from the IT department here at the city, and he has found a point-of-sale system that works properly for us. We'll need to buy a licensing to expand the capabilities. We do want to be able to capture some very specific information, because this is almost like grant requests from the teachers. They'll be requesting specific supplies for a specific program to connect with a certain number of students, and we want to know what that is. So we want a little more than the basic point of sales program is going to ask, you know, more than just name and address. It's not expensive. It's something that can be paid out of my budget. But I didn't want to spend those funds until we have the blessing from everybody on this with city staff. So we will expand our software capabilities so that we can customize the request form, and it'll be very similar to a purchase. And so when we have that link and it's up and running, we'll send it to everybody so that they can review it. The missing component for me, just because I'm limited in what I can do and, you know, with my time, is that we really need to secure a service organization as a partner with volunteers. And the Discovery Center can be a drop-off point for supplies, as well as the Brook City Center for the Arts. And then we need volunteers to bring those to the train station. And then they would be inventoried and entered into the point-of-sale program on the website, and pictures taken, and all that will be uploaded. And then teachers would see what's available. The volunteers would also review the orders, just confirming that indeed this is a teacher with the Marion County Public School System, and then pull the items from the inventory and bundle them, and Miriam Needham would pick them up on a, you know, if we need it weekly or biweekly basis, and get the products to the schools. So it's somewhat, you know, really fleshed out. One of the other needs that we hope that the partnering service organization would do for us would be some fundraising, so that we can purchase supplies. Hopefully we would be sending out letters and soliciting to manufacturers and asking them to send us their damaged goods, either at a reduced cost or no cost. And we'd love to have some funds to purchase anything that we could purchase at discounts. Miriam has already asked the elementary grade teachers what products do they want and what do they not want. And we would put that on the website in addition to the point of sale aspect of the component of the website. It will also have a home page that explains the program, a donations page, and with some instructions on how people can contribute, both with supplies, donating supplies, and donating funds.
Is this only for art teachers?
Yeah, right.
To start with, only
now
for art teachers.
We thought the need was specifically, we would start with the public schools because they were the most in need.
Yeah, but I didn't know that we had said it was particularly for art teachers, because take, for instance, at Bellevue, could have this whole thing started.
Right.
It's a history teacher who's letting the kids have an art club. Know what I mean? Because a lot of these schools don't even have art teachers.
It says educators.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. It's not just art teachers. It's teachers. not the general public, but art teachers or Common Core teachers who want to incorporate art into their existing
program. So it's any teacher in the school system, basically.
Yes.
Doing an art project.
Yeah, doing an art project.
They can't have it for their bulletin boards in their classroom, but
exactly.
It's open to any teacher that needs these products or, you know, things.
Right.
For, okay.
Yeah. And Lori had spoken with the Public Ed Foundation about this. Everybody would love for us to take this on. We're not interfering with any existing programs. It's a big component that they don't feel like they can handle right now, and
because
we feel
the,
we can.
The shop, what's that shop
Tools
called?
For Teaching.
Tools for Teaching really doesn't, I mean, they have very minimal art stuff, and it's not, you know, it's really not about that. It's about the other real basic supplies that for, just for general teaching, so.
If all goes well, we are talking with a service organization right now that's interested. I think it's going to take a couple weeks to flush out if they're going to 100% jump on. If you know of anybody else who might be interested, feel free to send them my way and I'll talk to them about the program. I'm not so sure I want to put all our eggs in one basket at the moment. Because we really would like to be maybe first or second week of January issuing a press release about the program, and then from January through April working on soliciting donations at the First Friday Art Walk, sending out our letters, you know, reaching out to our manufacturers and, you know, funding the program, and then opening up for the teachers to look at it and to look at the supply list, send us requests in May, you know, preparing for the next school year. So that's the goal. And I guess my biggest question, there's a lot of folks here at the table who have, you know, who have been working on the program or I know are interested, like Donna's here today so she can take back to FAFO where we're at with this because they would probably want to participate in some way, whether it's fundraising or, you know, they're going to take back and flush that out amongst themselves. But do we want this to be an OMAC program, or do we want all of our partners, whether it's Blue Sky Graphics or MCA or FAFO,
college.
All, you know, the college, everybody listed on this. So that was one of my questions that I had. I have told the city that collectively, because everybody was very interested in this at, you know, at our previous meeting when we were discussing it, that I, that this was being driven by OMAC, but we had key, you know, I wasn't sure how it was going to be fleshed out. So I've just been saying OMAC at this point with some key folks that have been on our initial committee. So are there some thoughts on that?
I think it's a great talking point when someone's asking about the license plate program and what the benefits are. It's a great example to show of if it, you know, obviously if it works well, of how we're, you know, giving back to the community. So it might be nice to have it under the OMAC name.
Can you say OMAC presented by OMAC and supported by, do you know, I mean, you could, I think we could do something like that when we need to. Only because I totally agree with you, Kent, but and on the other hand, I think, though, that the city sometimes, I'm learning, you know, the more buy-in that you get from big groups, the more they tend to...
More attractive you are.
Yeah, the more attractive you are. You know, I mean, it puts a little pressure on them. So.
Just a thought. Is that kind of...
It has the potential to raise our visibility, too. Because most people don't know about OMAC.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They know MCA and FAFO, but they don't know about OMAC. Mm-hmm.
This kind of gives you an idea of how letterhead might work. If it's, obviously we want Art Depot to stand out, and then if it's primarily, we could either go the route of having everybody's logos at the bottom of this, or we can go the route of just OMAC and maybe the city's logo, and then on the website, have all of our other key partners, the service, well, and the service organization probably needs to be here as well. And then on the website, have other folks, because that's my problem, marketing-wise, is the logos get so confusing.
It could be just a list of names. It doesn't have to be logos.
Yeah, okay. I don't think it has to be.
We're all going
to
support it, I think. I mean,
yeah.
I don't think
everybody who can is going to support
it. I wouldn't say logos anyway.
Okay.
Yeah.
You would say just list of
just
names.
List of names.
Included in, like, the, when we're soliciting.
Yeah, yeah.
For fun, okay. And then website and such.
One logo that I would list, though, which we don't use a lot, is I would go ahead and put the tag on it.
Mm.
The picture of the tag.
Oh, yeah.
The arts tag.
Yeah.
And finding places
idea.
To start
not
making
more
sure.
Money if we don't sell more tags.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you just write out license plate tag, they, I mean, doesn't Florida hold the record for the most different types of auto tags?
Yeah.
But, you know, start using that so that they see, if it's a project that was funded by it, then not just putting mm-hmm. OMAC, but putting the arts tag.
Well, right.
That's a great idea.
Restriction, can, for example, can the Art Depot come to us with a grant proposal to ask for some of those funds to buy some supplies?
Yeah.
Yeah, and to be honest, that could run. OMAC has the ability to just say, we want to fund this. We don't have to write a grant. It could be just like the sculpture competition and the decision to fund a sponsorship.
And I think the Art Depot needs to write a grant to MCA.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because the whole idea that we all got behind all this was starting with that whole idea anyway. Mm-hmm. So I think, and then whatever the college does mm-hmm. and whatever the FAFSA does, I mean, I think that that all becomes a funding source.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, big organizations like FAFSA, I know MCA, one thing we're going to do is put some push onto our artists, you know, to donate some of their, you know, they have a lot of supplies that they may not use all the time, you know, or that are old to them, but totally new to these kids, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the symphony artists, you know, artists of all types, that would be cool, you know, artists who are all helping. And in the college, we had talked about the same thing with y'all, with classroom things and all that, because I think we can get lots of
mm-hmm.
donations that are really good, slightly used, you know?
That is going to be our big need, is for all the organizations to really drive that. And I don't know if it's a possibility, but like any of our partners that have brochures or, you know, like
your newsletter.
If there was room and something could be included about.
Yeah, we've actually been running the tag thing now. This year, the tag, mm-hmm. I had space to put the tag thing in the permanent program section.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the past, I was just doing a space available, but. This year I had an extra space, and so it's in all of the main stage.
Yeah, and I didn't know if the symphony has something where it could go out.
Mary, guess what else?
On the list of tasks for the volunteer group,
mm-hmm.
When Linda Lee had all that art, the framing shop,
mm-hmm.
she worked regularly with some schools that would come and get our offcuts. Because a lot of our offcuts are
a
good size.
Full of it right now.
Yeah. The thing is, the volunteer needs to go and pick it up. Because that's the problem for the frame shops, is they don't have the time to go and then deliver it.
Mm-hmm.
Although now it's nice to deliver it to one place. But if they could even, and you just need
yes,
a car.
Yes, larger orders, we'd want that volunteer organization.
You know,
but make a regular
us?
Run of the frame shops that have bought in on it and keep their place clean. And
you know, besides Tito, but... You know who's right downtown now, and I know Sandy always wants to help with things like this. Is Sandy Blower and Cal Art and Frank right downtown.
Most of
and
what I
great.
Have in the truck is his.
Oh, okay. I know Sandy would, and you know those are the kind of people. Like, look at this. You have places that are like you, or Sandy, and you know.
I'm sure Rogers would do.
Rogers, mm-hmm. all these people, but they have artists coming in to have things done too.
Mm-hmm.
And you know there could be drop. You know they could solicit some of. You know where if
yeah,
we get this to where everybody's just you know bringing Dropbox stuff. What about our idea, Melissa, to incorporate it in the art walk too, about people who come to the art walk could bring things to drop at the brick, like toys for tots, but this is mm-hmm. art for you know.
I was going to...
Supplies for students.
Right.
Well, I'm thinking that next fall, in advance of back-to-school sales, we might maybe in the spring talk about finding a way to like send out the school, not the schools, but you know, when the parents have to go do their lists of shopping and supplies, if we can
mm-hmm.
convince people to pick up a couple extra things for the,
mm-hmm.
if we know what we want to say, these are
who
the things
who does stuff the bus?
That's the retired officers started it,
mm-hmm.
and then it's been added onto by a couple.
We had a great
under her breath, she wouldn't say it out loud. When I said toys for tots, supplies, art for art's sake.
Mm-hmm. You just
bring some art. But the only thing is, we have to, like, in all of our messages going out, I know, Miriam, you were real specific about what these teachers need.
Right.
You know, we need to bring what they need, not what we think they need or what would be great.
Right.
Well, I think what we'll do is, I anticipate that the city will, this will be a go next week, and then I can prepare a press release and bounce it to the committee first, and then once we feel like we've got it pretty much nailed down, then we'll send it to everybody, and y'all can weigh in. I think that press release actually needs to include the list, and it could be just one document that goes out, and then all of the different organizations can take it and use it in, whether it's an e-newsletter or a print piece.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and I don't mind, I don't know if Tito might have better contacts, but if it's not something he wants to, I don't mind taking the job of going and talking to, like, Hobby Lobby. Anybody that does framing.
That'd be awesome.
Where they've got offcuts to get rid of. Mm-hmm. The thing that makes it work, though, is if somebody keeps coming and get it, because they don't want it to pile up and then be blocking the door and nobody takes. But that's all good quality material, because sometimes if you ask people to donate it, then they'll go buy at the dollar store and it'll be the cheapest thing they can find. But the frame shop stuff is all going to be really quality material.
Well, we have to supply a box to each place.
And then somebody comes once a week and picks it up.
And get the box,
like a plastic bin? You think?
Yeah, anything.
It might need to be bigger, because your offcut might be 40 inches long and 3 inches wide.
So something that's tall, almost garbage can.
Almost like
those
a recycle
disposable.
Small enough that it's not under their feet. But somebody has to commit to go get it.
Yeah, and they have mini cans, actually, too. Yeah.
But what makes it work is if somebody gets it from them regularly.
You know what?
And we can put our logo on a sticker.
Connie Martin is a great place.
And put it
Yeah, and then it could just go on the can.
And also to get the thing.
Yeah, I can get the cans for free from Waste Pro.
He never gets approached.
Yeah.
Connie Martin.
Yeah, since they don't sell to the public, they're not as visible. They sell to sellers. They sell to brokers.
So who is this?
Terry Crawford.
Yeah. Terry would help us.
Sure, they just printed a brochure for the 14th heritage, and they donated the printing and the folding and everything. Mm-hmm. So
they have their own print shop where they do their own products.
Okay. And do you think that they would print off some stickers and things for us?
That's their business.
Yeah, that would be
great.
They
do placemats, coasters, all kinds of things.
I mean, Terry's born and raised here.
They started Betty Crocker here.
Yeah, his mom and a friend started Signature Brands when it was originally Pioneer Products.
Okay.
Well, I don't think it was Pioneer Products then. It was something else, and then it was Pioneer Products.
Right.
Do you feel that we need to design whatever we're wanting to have printed and give it to them ready, and they just print it?
Yeah.
Is probably,
they have an art department. It'll be a lot better if we give
if
it to
we
them
would
ready
just
to go.
Give it to them ready
and
to go.
And they've got digital printing there, too. So lower quantities, they can do that, too, for us.
Yeah, because that's what I was thinking, because we don't want 100 stickers. We just want 10, probably, or something.
If
we're going to take bins
if we
and
take
put
bins
them,
and stuff places, it'd be cute to put our logo on the bins so they know what it's there for.
Well, if you're only talking about 10... As long as I can run it through our Xerox copier, we have a color Xerox copier.
We do,
so,
too.
I mean, short orders, 100, 200 of something, I run it through the Xerox copier.
Yeah, I guess we could do that.
I think we need to lay out all the stuff we need first and then determine.
Yeah. Have a meeting. Yeah. Okay.
The only thing you have to, if you're having me do anything, you'll have to remember is that it's not ink, it's wax. So if you fold it, it will crack, depending on how heavy the ink coverage is.
Target also gives $500 a year for children's, anything has to do with art. It's really easy to get that grant.
You think they'd want to in their own community to be a part? Yeah.
Well, they have it's a grant process, but Symphony's gotten them in the past. It's a theater as a while ago.
Is it right on their website?
Walmart will do it too. You can get
they have some specific areas that they fund.
I'm just curious, if they fund this, does that mean they won't fund anything else in Ocala for the year? I'm just curious.
Not that I know of.
They have three areas of expertise. Three areas of focus. One is arts and culture. One is early learning. And then one is domestic violence. Which just seems like an odd collection of things. But anyway. But they've given more than one. It all just sort of depends. I mean, it's up to $2,000. So if they give out a couple of $2,000, then they're not going to. It all depends on. It also depends on how well the store is doing. If the store does well, they've got more money they can give out.
Yeah, maybe that's for
a
store.
So where's the grant information? Is it on the corporate website, or do you have to go into the store to get it?
Target's corporate websites. That and then same thing for the Walmarts and the Sam's Clubs. You can apply to each facility within your county.
Gotcha.
Or each facility that you know, the county that you service.
Okay. So we're going to meet again. I'll set up a meeting with the steering committee, probably if everybody's in town, like the week before Christmas, because next week I'm going to try to get everything nailed down with the city, and then I'll work with John Butts, and we'll expand the website, and then we can meet, look at the website, and kind of flesh out some of these other needs, the marketing materials, and then we'll flesh it out. And Miriam, one of the things we'll need pretty soon is to know what the secondary educators are looking for, because we have the elementary age kids. And before you got in, what I was telling everybody is that it looks like this is all a go with the train station. I'm just waiting for a final blessing from one person. So we have a bunch of women that are going to go in there and strong arm them.
I'll get a secondary for you by the next meeting.
Sure. Yeah, that'll be good. And then, it's really exciting. Mm-hmm.
It is.
Yeah, so that's all I've got. Any informational stuff that anybody wants to?
I just had one thing, because I think this is the first meeting we've had since FAFO, where I just wanted to say thanks for letting us do the community booth. It really came off very well.
Good.
Like 2 years ago, we paid the regular commercial fee, and this year they just gave it to us at cost. So it was like half. It's $330-something. The theater paid the full amount right now, and I was going to see if somebody else wanted to chip in something later, but I just haven't had a chance to do it. But we had 300-something enter the contest, and the guy was thrilled. And almost everybody, I thought a lot of it would just be, here's my entry, because we're not going to solicit them if they only want to enter the, you know, and I told them, I said, you know, if you don't want to do anything but enter, just put your name and phone number. But a lot of them took the time to check off stuff, and so now we're scanning all of those so that MCA will get all the ones that said they want more information about that, and the symphony will get the ones that said they want information about that. And we did go ahead and put the Ocala Art Group, and we had some people that had said they were interested in that. And so we had about a dozen different groups with stuff. Mm-hmm. So it stayed busy. It was a great location.
Right.
So we were very happy and appreciative that y'all allowed us to do that.
Good. Yeah, very well.
And it was sort of a MCA and the theater. And, I mean, everybody kind of worked together to make it happen.
I saw people there all the time when I was sneaking over from the maze.
Yeah, right by the entertainment thing. It worked out really well.
Great show.
Thank you
for your help.
And just to tell y'all, we have found a home for the maze.
Oh, I know.
The college is storing the maze for us.
The maze to build it again.
Yes. I don't know if I'm happy or sad. I was planning on having a bonfire.
Are they
going to
paint over it and start afresh? Is that what's that? What
well, whoever about? Uses it tonight, whoever the rule is, when you take it out, you gotta repaint it, then you start it up, then you do whatever you want with it, then you put, the, you know,
right,
and then
right.
you gotta have it.
Did we label all the pieces this time?
The bad thing is that somehow poor Gerald will always get pulled in because he's like got the architectural plans.
He's passed those on.
Yeah, and know if you're trying to erect it on the chamber lot that there's a lot of trash under the grass.
Oh, that was such
a fun. Yeah.
Yep.
Nobody told us that the foundation of the old chamber building is still there under the ground. About
the surface.
About 10 inches right where we needed to be. So we ended up, we broke three augers, and we ended up having to use our sledgehammers to break through on 52 posts.
Oh my goodness.
So Fatho should really be, had no idea.
We don't get any medical.
Did you end up breaking Fatho's auger too?
No, we decided, well, Sarah
did you decide at that point not to
use it? It was already sort of not working well, and we said this would be the end of it, so we
gave it. This would be his last.
This would be the last thing it ever did.
But it is really, you know, it doesn't have to be erected as a maze. It could be erected as a couple panels, yeah. And I don't know.
And Gerald did say, like, next year, this would be great. He, God bless Gerald, he said that he could actually build, because if that parking lot, you know, by some miracle is not a parking lot anymore, but
along with several other places.
Yeah, might not several other places. But it could be built to where it has, the post can go into these footers, you know,
it could
where
be on cement.
So it could sit
could go on asphalt.
But it has to be put into the footers somehow, right. I don't know.
Right. But it could be used for a different type of project, a public art project, you know. Like, I think Janie did, like, one billboard that said,
Feel downtown.
Feel downtown.
What artists would you like to bring?
Or, what would you like to see downtown? Mm-hmm. And then everybody wrote on.
Wish board.
Yeah.
Wish board. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so it's there, and we really thank the college for that.
We passed that along. That was very good. Yeah. Should I?
And it should get used. So that's what I.
It should get used.
I think they're storing it is the Garden Club. Right, Garden Club, which if you don't
defunct
know.
Defunct Garden Club.
Right, we're college is using that as a storage space right now because it's not up to code. We can't put people in the building. And so we're not in a position
that's
to
so beautiful.
Bring it up to code right this minute, so it's being used to store it for storage. So that's great use for it.
Well, truly.
Yeah, that worked out.
Saved its life.
Melissa, is there any movement or information on the public, the sculpture park in the sense that has anybody bought any of those pieces to stay?
No pieces have been purchased. Okay. Unfortunately, I didn't have it today for you all to see, but we'll have the printed version of the educational scavenger hunt in the brochure for the exhibit. Tito and I have fleshed that out. It looks really, really good, and it has this fabulous font across the top that says "Rediscover Tuscarora," and which kind of ties in with the hunt, and it's really cool. So that we'll have the printed brochures next week. And we're working
Friday.
Yeah. All right. So we'll have them on Friday, and then
out for the art walk.
Yeah, we could. Well, have them displayed. Yeah. Yes.
You should maybe
try to get them out. I've got holders, so I can bring some around to the downtown businesses, and we can give them to our art walk ambassadors to
That's
hand
what
out.
I'm shooting for before 4 o'clock.
That'll be great if we can make that happen. That would be awesome.
Because prices on them.
No, I have the prices. The artists have given me the values. And on the brochure, it says all sculptures are available for purchase and to contact me for more information. We didn't put pricing on the brochure just because I think it would scare people. Yeah. And also, we don't want to necessarily encourage any crazy behavior with the sculptures. But I know that all pieces, the pricing is negotiable. And I would just put them directly in touch with the artist because the city is not taking any commissions. We just would be thrilled if something gets sold. And I know all the artists really don't want to have to transport the sculpture back. So they're very negotiable.
I'm going to wait to the very last minute and come in. Is that what you're saying?
Putting it in the truck.
Yeah.
I'll find out what the shipping cost is. $0.01
Yeah.
That's right.
In particular, I do know there's conversation with Miller's Boating Center on partnering up to do a campaign where maybe they match community dollars to purchase Lofted to stay here. So that would be very, very exciting. I was going to wait
here in Tuscarora.
Yeah.
Good.
Then we would like to keep it right where it is. I don't want to move it. And I was going to revisit that with them right after the first of the year. I think everybody's distracted. And then if we launch that campaign, it would be really good timing, January 15th. And then we have the big sculpture stroll event, March 15th. And I'll be reaching out to everybody sitting here at this table for help with that. So it's March 15th. It's a Saturday. My steering committee is going to meet again after the first of the year and get working on that. And really what we are looking for is for all of our visual arts organizations and performing arts organizations to have a presence there with some sort of an activity that's interactive for the public. So we'd like to have stations throughout the park under little tents.
Awesome.
So each organization can celebrate what they do and provide an activity for families, whether it's, you know.
You can do a Richmond petting zoo.
Yeah. There you go.
It's a great, that would I loved work. It.
So, yeah. So
the thing that you did that it was at Silver Springs, I thought was really well attended and cool.
It's that easy.
That would be good at
Oh, I was going to say, y'all got to do the Kid Fetty thing y'all did. Oh, my God, that was so popular.
It was loud, too.
Yeah.
This time we'll lay off the cymbals. I thought it would be cool, and now I know. We don't have to bring those again.
Well, we're going to promote the event really, really well. We're going to already have this Silver Spring Boulevard reserved for a street banner, and we're going to really promote it. We'll start advertising the scavenger hunt the week of the 16th, Ocala.com ads and a Go ad, and then that'll appear periodically, and then especially December, and then again in January, and then we'll switch for a separate ad to promote the sculpture stroll event for a couple weeks, end of February, beginning of March, you know, leading up to that. So it's really exciting. And already kind of working on next year.
Is there any chance of doing an auction of some of the sculptures with a reserve, so that if it doesn't meet the reserve, you know, the artist
right.
can take it? But I mean,
we could do that. We could try that in at the. I think the time to do it would be the stroll event. That would be. Mm-hmm. I could talk to the artists and see if they would
be amenable
to that. So you think like a silent auction with reserve?
Either way, you know.
What is the price range on those?
Anywhere from, I think the cheapest one is like $6,800 or $6,400 to
$35,000. See, to me, I wouldn't do it at the stroll. If you were going to do something like that, because that's not going to be people
that's
who are going to.
It would be the wrong people audience.
You need to like.
A VIP
we have a little experience with this at the yes. Horse Fever deal, but I mean, yeah. we did a lot of research on, and hand selected who got taken to the auction, especially at the first one, and I mean, really pulled people and got people from other places too. You got to get that going. If you don't get that kind of thing happening, you know, you don't get those big dollars. You got to target, you know, sculpture collectors in Orlando and Tampa and Gainesville and Jacksonville. And, you know, you can get names of people from galleries. And, I mean, it takes some time. And then those are the people, and you have a nice wine and cheese thing down at the end, and you have an auctioneer with you going from piece to piece. It would not be a silent
auction. Yeah, because yeah. I was going to say, how would you have the energy to not get those?
And you don't get people, you know, let's face it, you have an ego buy. It's no different than a horse sale, you know, so.
But I would think that if we're going to do something like that, Tito, we've got to figure out some way that we would make money on it. Because if we've already told the artist that we're not taking any portion of their sale, then we've got all the food and publicity.
No, you have to figure out what will work.
No, at this point, you'd have to, if you did something like that, you'd have to tell the artist that you're getting, you know, a 15% or something.
Yeah, I mean, a gallery would take 50 or 40.
Right.
Yeah, a gallery, you know? Yeah, exactly.
So you can take 20 and they'll be happy.
Yeah.
And if you want somebody that's going to be able to write a check for $35,000, we can't just hand them some Kool-Aid and a cookie.
No.
You know, it's got to be a really nice event to get them to come.
But wouldn't our goal be keeping them at the park?
Frozen.
Wouldn't our goal be keeping them at the park?
Yeah, there was some discussion about what would it cost to grab them all, and I think if we could somehow come up with $100,000, it would capture everybody.
But if you were going to do it another year, you don't want to grab them all. You might, well, like Fafno used to always take one or two pieces and create a permanent collection. They sure. didn't, I mean, if you want to do this thing again, you're going to have space for it.
That's a good point.
Yeah, that's a very
right. good point. Right, it could very much evolve, though.
That's great. Yeah. I mean, you could have sculptures in other parks.
There is a lot of
right.
park.
Yeah. And, well, we have, it's 45 acres, so there's a lot more room for sculpture. Not saying that we would buy all of them every year, but it would be great to have, make a, enough that would space. Make such a statement
yeah.
in the sculpture. I mean, that has never happened at any
more.
Exhibit.
No,
yeah.
Not with the city. I mean, it's right. something that people will come and see.
Yeah, and they could stay here maybe for through the next year, and then we could start moving some of them to other parks and, you know, leave a few here. And we could go all the way around the pond. That was the original goal, was to go all the way around the pond. And at some point, Wautula is going away. It's going to be abrogated and just be a walking path, and there'll be more room for sculpture there. And I would have loved from this exhibit to... from the competition to have taken 20 sculptures and put them throughout the park and had a consistent walk all the way around, but I couldn't afford to do that. And we have the whole north area. There's just so much space here. We could easily have 40, 50 sculptures in this park, and there wouldn't be a problem. And then at some point, we're going to have Osceola Linear Park, and they would be great if they were going down Osceola Linear Park all the way to downtown and throughout downtown. Some of the sculptures we have right now would be great right on a sidewalk. Others, obviously, like Flopped, no way, but there's quite a few that would work well in other spaces. So
you gotta find a benefactor like we did to put buy a set and put them like we did on the square for mm-hmm. the city.
Mm-hmm. Right. So those are just...
an horse favor.
Yeah, no, I was... That just made me... Speaking of which, is the city going to put some barrier around them again?
No.
You're kidding.
Which yeah. is terrible. And I cannot believe what they did to Scenic Wonder where he is. And I almost got out of my car and started screaming the other day at somebody, the sky or whatever. They have him right in front of a water thing. He was dripping wet. That will ruin him.
Is there a sprinkler that's
yeah,
on
yeah, right there behind the gazebo. I think it's on top. I think it's on the grass on top, and it's coming over him. Mm-hmm. And he, you know, I was just...
But that was one of the things we noticed.
I haven't
where
caught
we
that,
were
but that can be
booth.
Adjusted, so it's not doing that.
When we were running the booth, and the night before when I brought all the stuff down, there were people getting on them.
Oh,
I mean,
they're
the first kid that falls down and sues the city, they'll
yeah, it's crazy. It's ridiculous. And also, what's his name? The big one, Champ, the FTBOA mm-hmm. horse, is marked all up with people, you know, because they're putting kids. I mean, I was standing there one day, and this family says, oh, let's take pictures, and they're putting, like, a teenager. I said, excuse me, but that is a piece of art, you know. And, you know, there's not the signage
well,
that
the
says
sign.
Don't ride or climb.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
nothing,
right.
all of that is
Electrify
gone.
There we go.
Electric fence.
Bam!
Right,
just
if they
like
don't
what? The
fence,
listen, you need to get to another meeting.
You know, there's not even a sign anymore that
digress.
Says public art.
Do
not
want
to
officially adjourn.
Yeah.
Adjourn.
All right. We're going to wrap up the meeting. Is anybody called to adjourn?
Do we make a motion?
Yeah.
I move to adjourn.
Any, second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
We're out of here.
I need to get another meeting.
Well,
all right, thanks.
That was great.
Yeah,
yeah, let me know about
well,
the meeting for the
you know,
architect.
I will. Okay. I'll send that out.
Questions.
Yeah,
is there this body in Gainesville?
Yes.
Because I have a couple, I have some artists coming to me. They're doing a project downtown, a mosaic project downtown on the on their square.
Mm-hmm.
Of like a 5 foot by 7 foot mosaic.
Right.
Glass mosaic. So they're coming to me for glass. And I'm giving them all my scrap glass. Not
sure.
A problem. And it sounds really, really neat. I'm like, well, have you checked into getting little grants? It's like, well, there's nothing. Like, well, I'm on the board.
They have a huge grant program. It's good to see you. Yes. They have a very big grant program. I think it might be geared towards funding organizations and not, they're going to have a problem just like they would with us if they were an artist coming
right.
in. You know, we're not looking to fund an artist. We're looking to fund an an organization or a program.
Right.
But if you go on the City of Gainesville's website for the Cultural Affairs Division, because that's what it's called, it's under Rec and Parks.
Rec and Parks?
Yeah, in Cultural Affairs. And the links to the group that organizes all the public art, they have a percent for the arts program, is listed there, and also the organization that handles all the funding, grant funding, for just for general program support. They do both.
Okay. Because they really didn't, you know, it's a great thing, it's going to be a public art space, you know.
They must be working with them to some degree already, because otherwise they could.
Well, it was on a lawyer, it's on a lawyer's building, so they've gotten okay from the lawyer, and I think they've gone more than just him saying yes. I'm sure they had to get some sort of downtown, can we put this mosaic on the wall?
Mm-hmm.
Even though, you know, we've gotten okay from the building person.
Mm-hmm.
It's down there, it's going to be down near the theater. So I just said, well, I'm on the committee here. I'll see if there's a sister committee over there and give them.
Ken had to go, but I will take, I'll get the sprinkler foot changed and find out why they didn't put the signage back about the do not climb.
I think it's just horrible they don't have. Well, the city's going to get sued one day.
Yeah, in fact, we can interject.
Their argument, but I will say that we had this discussion here today. And but initially.